Good morning. How are you this morning? You good? Just turn to the person beside you and tell them how wonderful they look. You know? That's good. Thanks, man. You enjoyed that, didn't you? Where else do you get someone say how wonderful you are? Well, I want to bring you greetings. I want to say it's such a privilege to be with you this morning. I'm going to do a bit of teaching and preaching together on behalf of all of the pastors that have had the privilege of serving in this church. I want to say thank you, and there's a few of them here this morning, and particularly want to welcome you. We just carry the baton, don't we? We just keep doing what God wants us to do and calls us to do. I bring you greetings on behalf of the wider Church of Christ family and across the nation. That's about 420 churches. And here in New South Wales, it's about 95. So it's a privilege to be here with you. I'm going to read to you a scripture from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. I think I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. That's the one that's come up on my technology. And this will be a passage that you are reasonably familiar with, but what I'm then going to do is go reasonably quickly and do a little bit of teaching on this and talk to you about the importance. You can see up there on the overhead behind me, I'm going to talk about the Kingdom of God and legacy. For some reason, in the last couple of months, I've been doing church celebrations, anniversaries, sort of quite regularly. So, you know, I was at one of our churches celebrating an 80th anniversary, another one doing 40. And since about March this year, God has been prompting me to preach on legacy. And you know what that word means? If you were here on Saturday morning, I talked a little bit about it. It's when we've been and gone, what are we going to leave behind? It's an interesting thing to think about. So I have some insights for the next 75 years. I'm not sure I'll be here in 75 years. Can't vouch for you. But it's a very important thing, isn't it, to think about. We are in the people business. We're actually here to sow life into people. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, this is part of the pinnacle of Jesus' teaching. I love it. From verse 25, I'm going to read through to verse 34. So follow along if you'd like to. This is Jesus speaking. That is why I tell you not to worry about your everyday life. Thank goodness for that. Whether you have enough food and drink or clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? My experience is no. They just turn you grey. Not supposed to laugh at that. Sorry. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's just take a moment and pray before I open God's word for you this morning. Father, we thank you that these are critical days, and it is important for us in the Church of God to talk about our legacy. What would we like to leave behind for the generations that will follow? And my sense, Father, is that which is so primary is your kingdom. And how do we as churches utilize our resources for the kingdom of God? So I pray this morning that your word would powerfully transform every heart and mind in this place. Thank you for the privilege of being here. And I pray, Father, that the word of God would speak to each of us today as we think about this whole idea of legacy and the kingdom. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to use the overhead, the PowerPoint this morning. I did say to Graham today as well, if when I finish you don't like this, that's okay. But if you do like it and you want a copy of what's up on there, I'll email Graham a copy of that as a PDF version. So that just means that you don't have to sort of sit here taking notes. This notion of the kingdom of God, I love the phrase of that. It's just a little bit not that clear up there, is it? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Just wonder whether we might be able to turn this front row of lights off if possible, just so you can read that text a bit better. I don't mind being in the dark. It's all about God rather than me. All right? This notion that the kingdom of God is so, so important in Scripture. And I'm just going to stand here and see if I can read this, because you probably can't. I'm sorry about that. Psalm 145 says a lot about God's kingdom. And the idea here is that there is basic teaching about God in the Old Testament is about his dominion, his reign and his rule over all of creation forever. And those who call upon him will receive his presence. Sorry, these aren't that clear. They looked okay on my computer, but it's a little bit of a shame. Matthew 4:17. I know this one very well. You remember Jesus begins his public ministry, and the first thing he ever preaches was, repent, change your mind, for God's kingdom is at hand. I love this. He didn't actually say, repent, turn around and change your mind because the River Community Church is here. Or he didn't say because the Albury Baptist Church is here. Or he didn't say because the Presbyterians or the Christian Outreach Centre or any number of churches were here. He took time to actually remind his disciples, when we turn our life around, it's all about God's kingdom. It's a very important piece. And then he goes on from there, recruits some disciples, and preaches the good news of the kingdom. So if you have your Bibles open, this is in Matthew 4, verse 23. Now, I'm going to give you just three very simple insights this morning about the kingdom, which I think are profoundly important when we talk about legacy. You okay with that? Three things. Three very simple things that will help you maybe unpack some things. Sometimes when we talk about God's kingdom, we're not clear what we mean by that. That one looks better, isn't it? It's a darker colour. And the late Dallas Willard, who was a professor of spirituality at Fuller Seminary in America, where I did some study, he was also the late professor of philosophy at the University of California, defined God's kingdom, which I love, like this. It's where what God wants done is done. Do you like that? See, we spend a lot of our energy trying to do things. And sometimes it's more about what we want to do rather than what God might want to do. And Willard says, if you really want to know what the kingdom of God is, it's where God in his sovereignty and his omnipotence wants to do things. Right here, right now, in October 2014, in the cities of Albury and Wodonga, God wants to do some things. And the challenge for you and I is to align our lives with what God might want to do. The other way of expressing this, it's the range of God's effective will. So when Jesus comes along and begins teaching about the kingdom, he's essentially saying, choose to align your life with God's will, with what God might want to do. The other way of expressing this is it's the rule and reign of God. It's his order and his government. Remember, Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 9:6 and says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Do you remember what the verse says? And the government will be upon his shoulders. He was talking about Jesus, the coming Messiah, was coming to bring reign and rule and order to your life and mine. Thank goodness for that. Right? Because if God doesn't do that, then my life is going to be chaotic and your life is going to be chaotic. And this is such an important insight for us to understand that the kingdom of God is about his lordship and sovereignty, his reign and rule on your life and mine. Yeah? And the moment we surrender to God at our point of salvation, in effect we're saying, God, because you're sovereign, I want you to bring order to my life from a top-down perspective, because God is king, right? We're not actually talking about a democratic government at this point in time. We're actually saying that when God says jump, if we're going to be in his kingdom, then we better jump, should we not? He has the right to do that, doesn't he? Because he created the universe. And it's very different from a democracy where we vote and we think about things. In this case, it's God actually saying to you and I want to bring order into your life. And it's about God's sovereignty and his lordship and his kingship. And that little word down the bottom there is the Greek word for kingdom, basileia. The basileia of God, the reign and rule of his kingdom, of which there will be no end, is the peace that God saves us into. Oh, this is so important. Because at the moment here in our nation, we've got 186 approximately different denominations. Did you know that? And most of them were established by men whose egos were in the way of what God was wanting to do. And so they'd stick their chest out and go, we can build a better denomination than those fellas down the road, right? And you girls sat there and thought, what the heck is going on here, right? So the church universally only makes sense when you put it into the context of the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus said, change your mind, think about life, because God's kingdom is at hand. And when we choose to follow God, something profoundly takes place. First insight. So for the church to be relevant and reach the community around us, we need to understand that we can't possibly do that unless we know that it's about God's kingdom. It's actually not about building up the church. It's about extending God's kingdom into our community. There's a whole sermon in that. The second insight is that this is about kingdom order. God wants to bring order into our lives so that we might be mature sons and daughters. Think about this for a minute. It's a little bit different to a small business. So if a couple of us got our heads together over morning tea and said, we're going to start a small business in Albury here or Wodonga, we would plan and we would think about the product that we're trying to sell. God doesn't think that way. He looks at humans, men and women, and he says, we are so precious, and his desire is, the outcome is, that the order of God might transform you from the inside out. And we know from the book of Romans, I'm not sure whether you can see that, verse 8:19. When Paul writes to the Roman church, he defines the outcome of God's order, and it's this. Creation eagerly awaits for the coming of the sons of God. Do you remember that verse? See, that's the outcome. God's heart is that he would bring order into your life and mine so that we would become mature sons and daughters in his kingdom. Not slaves, but set free to be all that God might want us to be. We transform our community by modeling the life of a Jesus follower in maturity. In fact, that Greek word in Romans 8, creation eagerly awaits the coming of the mature sons, and you can add to that daughter, is the Greek word kurios. And it literally means that God's heart for everyone that's ever created was that we might be mature in him. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I didn't wake up one day and think I'm just going to be mature, right? Just ask Wendy. I didn't, right? I'm one of four boys and I'm a rascal, right? And I love to play around in life. But what I've understood is the power of God through his word and his spirit is bringing order to my life so that I become a safe person when I live in community. And guess what transforms community? Not the institution of church, people like you and I, who, because of God's grace and love, are being radically transformed from the inside out. Do you understand that? So we will never, ever reach our community unless we allow God to begin this transformative process in our life. This only happens when the church creates an environment where when somebody is saved, they actually get equipped. Oh gosh, I wish I had known this 12 years ago. I'm just confessing, right? When we get saved, listen to this, it's very important. You know what the bulk of the Australian church does? They say, fantastic, you've been saved, you've got your ticket to heaven, just go and live. It's the wrong way around. In the church, we've treated salvation as the end point. Let's go and evangelize our community. Absolutely. But we don't just get people saved so that they feel good. We get them saved so that they begin a journey with God so that the order of God's kingdom can transform those people into mature sons and daughters. And Romans, when Paul writes, that's the outcome. Are you and I mature in Christ, or are we still fluffing around? So this only happens when the church creates an equipping environment, and there are implications as a consequence of that. Not sure whether you can see that diagram. But in the middle of that diagram is a sweet spot. And around the edge of it is the kingdom of God. And when I drew this, I did it as a dotted line because God's kingdom's got no boundaries. His kingdom is forever. The reign and rule and the dominion of God is not even time bound. It goes on forever and ever. But here in the middle of God's kingdom, we have what God would call the church. And the church is made up of a community of God. You can see that there, the ecclesia of God. I can even point. And up here is the Spirit of God, God's pneuma, and the Word of God. And when you take a community of God's people and you put the Word of God in the middle of them and allow the Spirit of God to move, guess what? We all get transformed by the order of God's kingdom, equipping us to make us mature in life. Now, I've realized something. I've met people in their 70s. Not talking about anyone here, just so you're not scared. I've met people in their 70s who've been followers of Christ for 30 or 40 years and they're not mature in their character and their relationship with God and others because they reached a point and got stuck and no one actually helped them unpack what that meant. So there's this dynamic, right? First thing, 75 years from now, we have to help generations understand that God has a kingdom. And there's lots of passages, isn't there, in Scripture about the kingdom of God. Think about it. Every parable that Jesus taught wasn't like the church is like this. It was all the kingdom of God is like this. Does that say something to you about the priority of the kingdom? It's critical. So firstly, we've got to help people understand the kingdom. Secondly, we have to bring order into people's lives. Oh my goodness, our nation is out of order. It's chaotic. There are people out of control and they don't know how to fix themselves because every time they try to, they fail. And it's only the reality of God in a person's life that brings order. And the implications for the church is that when somebody is saved, we have to apprentice them. We actually have to equip them so that God's order and life and grace and love flows in and out of them. That's number two. Number three, getting excited. Did you know that you weren't simply created to live life? Let me say that again. You weren't created to simply live life. Part of God's heartbeat and design for every person is that firstly, we were fearfully and wonderfully created. True? Psalm 139, verse 14. The psalmist brings testimony that no life is a waste. Every person, fearfully, wonderfully made. Now, if that's true, why is it that we have so many people in life struggling? Answer? Because the church doesn't know how to bring the order of God into those people's lives. And we don't do it in our own strength. We do it as the community of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God brings perspective and shapes people. So when we talk about legacy, and in this context, I'll talk about this church. In order for the river of God's love to impact the community around us, regardless of which church you're in, the river of God's love has to flow in your life and mine. And so if we become critical, cynical, judgmental, religious zealots, there's no river of God's life or love flowing there. In fact, our life doesn't reflect the order of what God wants to do. So the third insight is that we actually have to train and equip Christians to understand, firstly, that life isn't an accident, and secondly, that God's heartbeat and God's intention is that everyone grows up to be a mature adult in the family of God. And as a mature adult, we understand and we begin to understand why God has placed us on this planet. And it's not simply to live. Let me describe it for you this way. There's an American poet by the name of Walt Whitman. And in 1892, he published a tome of poetry. Now, I'm a scientist, so I don't read a lot of poetry, right? But Walt Whitman, in his latter years, was grappling with this idea, what is life all about? And if you are a Dead Poets fan, remember the late Robin Williams, who just passed away recently, quite tragically, in Dead Poets Society, he quotes Walt Whitman's poem. And the title of the poem is O Me, O Life. And in that poem, Whitman just is trying to reflect on his life. He's asking himself these questions. What does it all mean? O me, O life. What have I done with my life? Have I wasted it? Or has something profoundly happened because I've allowed my life to be used for God's purposes? He gets to the answer at the end of that poem. And here's what he scribes. He says this. The answer to life is this, that the powerful play goes on that you might contribute a verse. Wow. Did you hear that? That the powerful play goes on that you might contribute a verse. Not the person sitting beside you, not your pastor, not your uncle or your relative, but that you might contribute a verse. Let me contextualize that. The powerful play is God's cosmos, it's his kingdom. And we know, scripture says, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. So God's wanting to extend his kingdom right across the globe. But Whitman reminds us, each of us has a verse to contribute to that play. Now, here's what happens. I meet people almost daily who say to me, Andrew, I'm stuck. I feel like my best is over. And I say to them, it's such a tragedy. Because to the 80-year-olds in the room, and plus, it should be getting better every year that you live. You shouldn't reach a plateau and go, oh, I'm content now. I've achieved everything that I want to achieve. If you're going to contribute a verse, you realize that every year that you accrue here on earth is a year that God's building more order and life and grace and love into you to be able to help others. You see, destiny, I'm not sure you can read it up there, is different to career. It's about fulfillment and purpose in life. And it's about a mature person who can make a contribution into the lives of others. Let's cut to the chase. 75 years from now, some of you will be with God in glory with me. I won't be here in 75 years, I can promise you that. But some of us will just be starting out, and the babies and the children and the grandchildren that you're a part of desperately need to understand that this kingdom will know no end and it won't stop. And they need to understand that the very purpose of the church is to equip people. Got a bit of dancing happening in the morning in the center here. Is to equip people for God's kingdom. Yep. Do you understand that? And the church gets stuck when we say to one another, I've arrived. Oh, please, don't ever say that. Because God's heart for the church is that we would be the army of God mobilized to transform a city. Yep. On Friday, I met the mayor and the local member at Borella House. And so I bowled up to the mayor and I start chatting to him, and he swears a couple of times and we're chatting and I just ignore that. And I'm trying to bring the life of God to the mayor. After 5 minutes, he confesses that he's a ex-Baptist but doesn't actually go to church anymore. And then he says to me, listen to this, Andrew, I'm just waiting for the church to be all that God would create it to be, to help us heal this city. Wow. 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 And for the church to heal the city, normal people like you and I need to understand that God wants us to become mature sons and daughters in his kingdom. Not people who just simply know the word of God, but people who are alive to the reality of God. And when we go out into the community, we become salt and light, not because we can preach, but because of who we are. Do you understand that? It's so transformative. Because I'm chatting to the mayor. You know what? I didn't pull out my electronic Bible and start preaching to him. I was the same person with the mayor where I am anywhere else. But suddenly in the midst of that conversation, he sensed something, the dynamic of God. And he was open enough with me to say, oh gosh, I would love for the church to be all that God wanted it to be to help bring healing to this city. Three insights. It's very simple. One, do you know what the kingdom of God is? It's where what God wants done. God wants to do some incredible things in your life and mine. Two, second insight, when we talk about the kingdom, that's all about order in our lives. God bringing government to your sense of life, because if you try and fix yourself, it'll never happen. That's why we need God. And thirdly, for everyone that's ever born here on planet Earth, God has a destiny. Now, I just want to be very honest with you this morning. If you're stuck, I don't want you to leave this building this morning thinking, oh gosh, I have to flatline for the next 20 years until suddenly they put me in the grave. I would hate that to happen for you, right? Because God's heart is that everyone that's ever born would discover their destiny in the kingdom. And so whether you're in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s or your 70s or your 80s, do we have any 90-year-olds here? Didn't think so, right? So whether you're in any of those generations, the heartbeat of God is that he has a destiny for you to step into. And it's never too late. Why? Because the powerful play goes on that you might contribute a verse. Do you know what your verse is? Do you know why God has put you here? Not simply to be in church. You know why we gather for church? This is the place where we encourage each other, where we spur one another on. This is the place where you get built up by God's word in his community, where the Holy Spirit ministers into your heart and mind so that you wouldn't feel that your life is a waste or you're useless. Now, I could do 4 or 5 more hours on this topic. We don't have time this morning. Here's what I want to say to you. This community around you is crying out for the church to be the church of God in this city. But in order for the church to be the church of God in this city, firstly, we need to understand the implications of God's kingdom. Remember? Repent, turn your life around, because God's kingdom is at hand, not the church. Secondly, you and I have to choose to let the order of God make us mature. Do you know what that means? Surrendering, submitting, being humble, saying to one another, I messed up, I want to apologize, helping each other, picking each other up and saying, God has this wonderful peace for you. And thirdly, there's a destiny for you to step into. And if you don't feel that, then we would be delighted to pray for you. You know, you might have even had this season of ministry where God was doing some incredible things and suddenly you're all alone in the desert. And because of all kinds of circumstances, God may not be as real to you than what he was 10 years ago. It's never too late to come back and discover the reality of God. Let's pray together, and then as our worship team comes up and finishes off this morning, if you would like some prayer, just, you know, either in that time or after the service, please come forward. If your life is barren and you need God again and you want to say to God, I'm ready to recommit, here's a great chance to do that. No one's going to judge you. They'll actually cheer you on and say, yes, we want God's destiny in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this church. There's a history here that goes back over 100 years. And some pioneers, some evangelists, some great men and women said, we're going to bring the gospel to this city. And we just read this morning in Matthew 4:23, the gospel was the good news of God's kingdom. And the good news of God's kingdom is that when we're submitted under God's sovereignty, then suddenly God brings order to our lives, and from that order we become safe and helpful and loving and caring and able to help others in this journey of life. So I want to pray, God, firstly, thank you for the history of this church. And secondly, 75 years from now, I want to pray that a generation will stand up in this city, and not just in this church, but across the churches in this city, and say, we dared to believe that we could equip people to help them discover their destiny in God's kingdom. Father, that's my prayer. And the legacy won't be bound up in buildings and resources. It'll be bound up in lives that are transformed for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, may your Spirit today birth that vision, that seed, into the hearts and minds of believers. May we become restless and dissatisfied simply because you didn't intend us simply to gather on a Sunday. You want the church to be mobilized to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, that's what you taught us to pray. And so we pray it today so that the order of your kingdom in these beautiful twin cities of Albury and Wodonga will come to pass so that the community will be changed and so that lives will be changed. For Jesus and his kingdom, we pray. Amen. God bless you.